Welcome to another Carlin and Lowe Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.
Now, today we got another interesting guest. We got Liam Phillips, who's the sports editor of the Bunyip. Welcome to the show, Liam.
He's too young to be sports editor of the Bunyip, surely.
And the sports section of the Bunyip. The reporter slash editor slash page drawer outerer slash everything. Anything sports there is goes through me.
Now, you are a young man, right?
I am 23.
A bigger job? Is this like your first big job in terms of doing this role?
Yeah, so while I was doing my media degree, majoring in journalism at Adelaide University, I was working at the Advertiser. I was lucky when I started my degree, I was harassing the sports journo there for a sports editor there for a long time, and eventually a role as an editorial assistant popped up, and it's just an extra set of hands kind of role there, just doing all the dirty work that they don't want to do. But it's nice to get into the building, but this is definitely my first full-time reporting role and full-time, especially sports. There was a few like journalism roles around the place, but I was pretty set on going to sports wherever it was, and I had an interview for Geraldton WA, and the very last minute the Gawler job popped up and I chucked in my interview there. I think from interview to my first day was 8 days, and it's gone very, very quick, and it's been a very sharp learning curve, but I've enjoyed every bit of it.
Well, the Bunyip is a much-loved paper by the people in the Gawler and surrounding areas, and sport is a big part of it. So it's a pretty good job to have.
Yeah, well, I've found how passionate people are very quickly. Is they're not happy if I don't get around to their thing. What I've found is that there's no sport considered too small or too obscure to warrant coverage. Everyone has their thing, and everyone, if people are passionate about it, it doesn't matter how many people are passionate about it, it's important to tell their story, and you never know, like some people might fall in love with it from reading about it.
Now, most people that get into sports journalism has a background in sport. You played a bit of basketball. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I'm a lifelong basketballer. I started when I was 5. Played like under 12 Division 1, under 14 Division 1, all the way through to 18s. I was handy enough, but I never made a state team or anything like that. So there was a ceiling on what I could do as a basketballer. And once I got out of the juniors, where the Friday nights are the under 18 Div 1s are the main event, and all the crowds are there and people cheering. And once you go from that to under 23 Division 2s on a Tuesday night when there's two girlfriends in attendance and that sort of thing, I fell out of love with it a bit, and I made my footy debut at 17. Went straight to fullback. I was a good basketball defender, so I figured I could defend if nothing else. I can't kick, but I had a good set of hands, so I take a grab and I could harass people, and I was a good talker as well. I could get under some skin, so fullback suited me nicely.
Now, how important do you think it is to have those skills playing sport, playing basketball, playing football, having a little bit of insight when you do your work as a sports journalist?
I think you can tell the people that don't know what they're talking about straight away. And it's all about being not so much an authority on it, but people have to know that you know what you're talking about, or else they just don't care. It's just someone writing about sports. But having that sort of knowledge and knowing what you're looking at and being able to interpret it and understand, like, if a team's bad, they're not just going to stay bad. They've got to, maybe they're bringing some kids in and they're going to be bad for now, but they're building to something. And being able to recognize patterns and just the way clubs are made and built from the ground up, if you don't get it, you don't get it. And I think people, that's on you, that's written on your face straight away.
So what have been your favourite stories so far that you've been involved with at the Bunyip?
Yeah, so probably my favourite story that I've done so far is about Alf Skews, Gawler region footy legend, and about how he wanted to donate this premiership photo from way, way back playing at his local club. He wanted to put it on the wall of the local pub, and he spoke to the people there about it, and he's got a laundry list of accolades. Really, when you go through the things that he's accomplished and the things he's been recognized for, and he told people that this was his most prized possession. It was just this photo of him with his mates from that he grew up with playing footy with, and the way that the things that are meant to him at a later age in life, and we can look back at all the things that he'd accomplished, but the friends he made and the relationships he had with the blokes on this team was the trumping factor. It was one of my first stories with the Bunyip, and it kind of drilled in everything that country papers are about. It's about the people, it's about the stories, it's not about the frills and the shiny stuff, it's about the earthiness of it.
Well, it's refreshing, isn't it? Because we've done some shows when we sort of make fun of all the predictions that, like in AFL, like all the experts will sit there and they'll predict what's... I mean, we've just played a round of football and already talking about who's going to be winning the premiership, who's this, who's that. Whereas those type of stories are refreshing because it reminds us that, you know, sport and people's involvement in sport, it's all about the people. It's about the relationships and the history, isn't it? And so rather than all the drama and all the sort of stuff that's going on in there and finding these little stories that can create a bit of drama, this is actually about real people doing real things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So what I've found is that, sports at the highest level is kind of like a science experiment. It's because when you get to the highest level, everyone's good. It's just about finding these little percentages on the margins, and it's very ruthless and it's very much a business. Whereas when you have people that are playing sport for the sake of playing sport, the whole mindset's different. Everything's different about the way they approach it and the way they look at it and the things they value about it. It's not about anything else than the love of it and the people that they're doing it with and the way it makes them feel while they're doing it. It's very unsuperficial, and I really appreciate that.
You know, sports has been part of Sean and my life forever. We've loved it, and you're just a young man. So you're going to have a lot of exciting times as you go forward and you start, you know, investigating people like this. You know, Alfie, sort of, he's a real champion. He's had some health issues over the years as well, but, you know, he's just an everyman for sport. He's done everything, and he's just a champion. Last time sporting events, he participated in with indoor bowls as an older person with his wife, and I think he plays lawn bowls as well. You just can't stop the guy playing sport. So they're the type of characters that make the stories when you're working for a country newspaper.
Mm-hmm. And, like, the ones you hear about a lot of the time are the ones that did accomplish things, but they're everywhere. The ones that don't have the name up in the headlines have so many interesting stories to tell, just as much as the people who have done these extraordinary things by everyday accounts. But what I've found is that no matter what level of sport people have played or what they've been, the way they've been involved in it, whether a coach, they're a water boy, whatever it is, they've all got something about their sports story that made them fall in love with it. And I don't think there's a bad one of those stories. I've never found someone who's spoke to me about why they love sport and thought it was a boring story. There's always something romantic about it. And I've said it a thousand times, but I'll keep saying it. The romance of sports is unmatched in anything else that I've dealt with, the way that people can fall in love head over heels with something that they're not even really a part of. Like, they support teams and you feel like it's a part of you and you bleed for that team. And it's just so, it's such a weird thing to try and put into words, but it's beautiful and it's everything that I love about sports.
And one of the things, I'm not sure I have a question here, but more of just a statement, but one of the things I love about the Bunyip, I work locally in Gawler, and so every week the Bunyip's there in our workplace in the staff room, and I love, you know, people actually go through and we actually highlight people who are in there that we know, and I know a lot of the local sporting, if they actually get their photo in there, like a lot of, they have to pay fines. So some people don't want people to know they're in there, but I love those things that, like, those local papers, and they're looking for their friends, they're looking for the people they play footy or netball or bowls with, and they're looking for those local stories, and so it's something that sort of people do every week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I have many stories where just the logistics of it, they're busy. A lot of the guys I write stories about for my back page and stuff, they work full-time jobs. They're casual, no, I use casual in a incorrect way. They're not casual sports people, but they're full-time workers, and the only time you can really meet them to do an interview or to do a photo is like either before training, or I went to a Tanunda versus Malala A1 cricket game a couple Saturdays ago to interview their two opening batsmen. They're currently number one and number two in the A1 grade for runs scored. And like when I got there, it turns out that they've been lifelong friends. They played backyard cricket since they were babies. And when I was trying to do a photo for them, they had all their teammates watching, jeering them on, and just, the hesitancy to pose for a photo and everything. I found that to be probably one of the hardest parts of the job, is to get people that are pretty serious people to pose for photos in front of their mates. It's probably the hardest part of the gig.
But you know, all those blokes are going to go out and buy that.
Exactly right.
And they're still going to make fun of them all week, yeah. And they'll probably stick it up in the change rooms and draw pictures or do whatever. But it's fabulous. And even those, it's for those people, it's their time to shine, even though they're pretty humble people, isn't mm-hmm. it?
Absolutely. And another part of the job that, I mean, it doesn't feel like it's good fun at the time, but we have to do like social photos. Like the middle of our paper is filled with just photos of people from the community, photos like of Gawler, like the people that make it up, and like it makes the town and the area what it is. And what I've noticed is that a lot of, especially the younger people, they're pretty unwilling to get their photo taken. The hair's not done, blah, blah, blah. You know, the reason people don't want to get their photo done. But like the older people, is they're always, they're just so happy to be recognized as like contributing to the community, and they're so proud of where they're from and the way they've grown up. And you can tell that newspapers meant something different when they were growing up, and that being in the paper was a big deal, and that if they're able to represent the places they've grown up with, you know what I'm trying to say. But
yeah, I know it's a culture. It's a culture thing. And the thing is with the Bunyip and with country newspapers, you're right. You grow up with it, but it forms part of the fabric of the community, because it's sort of like tells. It's almost like a history book telling what's happening in the town right now, and in 10 years' time, you can look back at it. I mean, the Bunyip Dad's looking back. They go back 10 years, mm-hmm. 25 years, 50 years, 100 years. Not so much 100 years, but the other ones, mm-hmm. people enjoy looking. Trying to remember, oh, that happened in Gawler. Mm-hmm. So you're actually writing history now for future generations.
Mm-hmm. And you can tell, when, especially when I speak to older people, or not even just older people, but people that have spent their lives in the area, that the Bunyip matters to them. It's not just a local country paper that people use for dog litter or whatever it is. It's part of the area. And when I call up some people and say, this is Liam Phillips from the Bunyip, the responses vary from people and have no idea, and those almost every time aren't from the area, compared to people that welcome me with open arms. And straight away I know that it's because like they know the Bunyip. They know that through thick and thin, like the Bunyip's been there.
Well, it's an iconic, part of the town. And in this world of change, people like to hang on to things, a little bit of their history, a little bit of their heritage, and the Bunyip is that for a lot of people.
Well, it's one of those things, isn't it? We take all these things for granted. We know they're there, they've been there forever. And I was just thinking as we were talking, imagine if all of a sudden people said, oh, the Bunyip's not going to be in publication. There would be a massive uproar in Gawler, wouldn't it, and surrounding areas, because it is. It's something that is part of people's weekly life, daily life, and it's something that people look forward to.
And you've been at the Bunyip since October, so you've been there about 5 months now. You're getting on to, you know, your 6 months coming up. Mm-hmm. You would have grown to appreciate this, and it would have been a very heartening for you to know that the paper's looked up that highly by the community.
Well, when I got there, I didn't understand. First of all, I didn't understand how big Gawler was. I didn't understand how many people were up there and the reach of the paper. Like, even our Facebook page has something like 30,000 likes on it, which blew my mind. Is that all these? I'd never heard of the Bunyip until I was applying for the job. And I live in South Australia. So the engagement of people this side of town that they have with it, it's significant. And like, you really can tell when you're interviewing people that they care that their story's in the Bunyip.
And the football, netball, winter sports are about to start, and you'll see that is absolutely huge. Mm. And like, again, we're in this sort of lucky place because we're regional, but we're close to the metro area, and that's ever expanding. But Now, like, I mean, some of the poor clubs out further are really struggling to get numbers and compete, but we're in that lucky situation where people can come from metro area and play in this league, and of course we're a big country area as well, so you've got a lot of people. So the standard of our football and netball, our winter sports, is very, very high.
Yeah, well, that's what I've heard. I'm really excited to get into the footy season, but what I've heard is that when there's a home game, like, the town's alive, and the feeling that when there's a big netball or and a big football game going on in the town is significant, and when there's an away game, it's a ghost town. And so I haven't seen any of this with my own eyes, but I'm really excited to get out to some A-grade footy this season and see the talent and just the passion of the locals especially.
Well, thanks, Liam. First, we'll have you on again a little bit later when the football started and get your views on football and netball. And
I was going to say netball.
And I know he's big on the women's football as well. So we'll talk about that. Yeah, we'll talk about that. So ends another Carlo and Lade Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
Sean Carlo.